Valentine's Day, happy Friday. Love that you've joined Wintrust Business Lunch with me, Jisook Yee. Did you buy chocolates already for your sweetie today? Did you know that Fannie Mae Chocolates is celebrating their 100-year anniversary? So let's get started with Jennifer Peterson. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, G. How are you?
Well, I should say congratulations to you. I know that you've been working for Fannie Mae for quite some time now, and you're a lifelong Chicagoan, so you're super excited about this big celebration.
I am. I totally am.
So what makes this so special?
Well, this year, as you mentioned, Fannie Mae is celebrating our 100th anniversary, and we were founded right here in Chicago in 1920 on LaSalle Street. We started with our buttercreams, and then we made our Pixies in the 40s and Mint Meltways and Trinidad and so on and so on. And they've just been such a part of Chicago, and I feel like Fannie Mae has just been a great part of the Chicagoland community.
Which Fannie Mae product do you think is the most iconic?
The Pixie is the most iconic Fannie Mae product of all time. And actually, this Valentine's Day, we have created a brand new Pixie, which is just delicious. It's the new double dark chocolate sea salt Pixie. So it's smooth chocolate caramel, pecans drenched in rich dark chocolate, and topped with just a touch of sea salt.
Oh, my goodness. So you get the sweet and that little touch of savory. My mouth is watering already. What do you think the secret has been for Fannie Mae's longevity and the success of Fannie Mae?
Well, I feel like throughout the years, Fannie Mae has developed chocolates that often become the center of many family traditions. So I know growing up in Chicago, every Valentine's Day, my dad would buy my mom a heart box with vanilla buttercreams and, you know, Pixies, and then every Easter we would get the chocolate bunnies, and hearing folks that come into our stores and just the guests that we serve, they have those same traditions. It's like, oh, we have to have dark raspberry creams for the holidays, or, oh, it's my mom's birthday and she always needs caramels, etc. So I feel like because the recipes have become such a part of people's traditions and lives, it's part of why Fannie Mae has had that longevity. And then I think the second part is, although we have traditional recipes that families love, we are always continuing to develop new and innovative flavor profiles, like that double dark chocolate, that our new guests and customers love. So as tastes change, we need to change with those tastes and still understand that the quality of our recipes needs to stay intact, just like we've always had.
Speaking with Jennifer Peterson, she's the brand director at Fannie Mae Chocolates. Let's talk some numbers. I'm assuming that Valentine's Day is a big production day for you guys where you have a lot of revenue.
It is.
About how many chocolates do you think you sell during peak season?
Oh my gosh, I'm not sure if I can put an exact number on that, but I can tell you it's thousands of pounds of chocolate. So if you think about all of the different heart boxes that we sell, and they are available in half pound, pound, 2 pound, and even 5 pound boxes, even our flagship store in Michigan Avenue sells thousands and thousands of pounds of chocolate.
I'm hearing that even in your busiest peak seasons, almost 40,000 of chocolates in one day, a million cupped packed boxes are made a year. That's over 25 million pieces of candy. Over 200,000 pounds of pecans are used by your company every year. That is a lot of pecans.
Yes, and I can actually tell you that, you know, we make enough Pixies, if you put them end to end, because they're about 2 inches, we can go up the Willis Tower over 20 times if you stack them end to end in a year.
Wow. What are the most, what's the most amount of Pixies that you've eaten one sitting?
I don't know if I'm allowed to tell you. That's a little embarrassing. But
just teasing
probably
you.
5 or 6.
So tell us, also, there's a really cool Chocolate City skyline that you're also doing.
Yeah, so our master chocolatier, Elliot Callahan, created the Windy City skyline out of chocolate, and it's about 50-plus pounds of chocolate, and he decorated it with chocolate hearts, large chocolate hearts, and that's available to be seen and take pictures with in our Michigan Avenue store. So that's at the corner of Michigan Ave and Wacker, so it's available for everyone to see as well as take pictures with.
Well, thank you so much, Jennifer, for joining us. That was Jennifer Peterson. She is the brand director of Fannie Mae Chocolates. Fannie Mae Chocolates started right here in Chicago, celebrating its 100-year anniversary. We hope you sell a lot of chocolates today. Happy Valentine's Day. G here with Wintrust Business Lunch. Joining me now is Kate Sullivan. She is an Emmy Award-winning journalist. She has now been traveling the world with her new show, To Dine For. Kate, we're so excited that we have you in studio.
Gee, thanks so much for having me. This is so fun.
So tell me about the show. Describe it for me.
Absolutely. So this show, it sounds like a food show, but I want you to listen carefully. So the premise of the show is very simple. We go with the guest to their favorite restaurant, wherever that is in the country, in the world. We eat what they love. We see where it is that they love. And then we let the food and the location be a backdrop for a conversation on what they created. So every guest on the program has taken an idea from inspiration to execution, and they've done it through their own hard work and hustle. So imagine a Howard Schultz who created Starbucks at his favorite restaurant in Seattle, happens to be a Middle Eastern place called Mom Noon, or Sarah Blakely, who founded and is the CEO of Spanx.
I love Spanx. I live in Spanx.
Don't we all, G? Don't we all? So with Spanx, you know, what people don't realize, this is a woman who is a fax machine, a door-to-door fax machine saleswoman, and she went on to become the first self-made female billionaire in the world. How did she do that? Right?
That's what I love, because we were talking about the show and you said, gee, it's perfect for your show, because I talked to so many business people, people that are pushing innovation and also are so inspiring.
You know, I really believe creativity crosses all disciplines. And so what can, you know, creativity in business teach creativity in the arts and authorship and people who are inventors? You know, innovation comes from problem solving, and problem solving, great problem solving, is at the heart of business. And so everyone on this show has created something through their own creativity and imagination, and is now using that to better the world.
I'm speaking with Kate Sullivan. She's the host for a new series. It's coming back for the second season, To Dine For. It's on locally here on WTTW.
Yes.
If Kate's voice sounds familiar to you and you're trying to place it, Kate, can we tell them why?
Yeah, absolutely. So my background is local news. I started in South Bend, Indiana at WSBT, went down to Little Rock, Arkansas, and then I anchored the morning news at CBS New York, and most recently here in Chicago, I anchored the evening news at WBBM CBS, and then I was fired. And then you know what? I love
We've all been fired.
We've all been
once.
Fired.
In this business, it's it true. Goes with the territory.
It's true, and it's really an opportunity, just like the program, for innovation, and to think, okay, let's regroup, let's recalibrate, and where are we going to go next? And so for me, it's the show that starts on Sunday. This is our second season on WTTW at 1, and it's really matching fascinating, jaw-dropping stories of inspiration with people's favorite restaurant.
So really big names. You mentioned the CEO of Starbucks. What was something that you learned from Mr. Schultz?
You know, one thing I've learned that has really surprised me on all the guests is how many times they get told no. And being able to really handle rejection well. When Howard Schultz was building Starbucks, he reached out to 242 investors before someone said yes to the funding. And you see this story over and over again. It's amazing. Like, people take it so personally when someone rejects them, when you fail, right? Mm-hmm. And I think what's really sobering is the fact that everyone gets this kind of rejection. Howard Schultz grew up in the projects of Canarsie, Brooklyn, and when he was a kid, his father slipped on ice, putting him out of work. This was so traumatic and devastating because they didn't have insurance. That is why every Starbucks employee is offered health insurance, because of the trauma of his youth. And so, you know, like, putting heart and soul into your business, putting your values into what you you do, I think is really fascinating to learn these stories and see the origin of why these business leaders are doing what they're doing.
Well, that is so fascinating. Also, you mentioned the founder of Spanx. Mm-hmm. She is the first female billionaire?
First self-made female billionaire in the world.
Oh, that's, self-made, yes.
Yeah, so she invented the product, then she brought it to market, and then, you know, it's really taken off. I would say, you know, the lesson from her is to use humor. She makes everyone laugh. I mean, undergarments are funny.
If you just think about Spanx, it's funny.
It is. It's hilarious. Well, I think she found an opportunity when she would go door to door to these hosiery factories in North Carolina. They're all run by men. All the decisions about women's underwear being made by men. And she said, wait a minute, there's an opportunity here to bring the female voice, what women actually think is comfortable, to the forefront. And I think that being able to, you know, you may be a man and say, what do I want to know about Spanx? But really, there are so many business lessons in this one episode. And it's being able to look at things with a fresh set of eyes and a fresh lens that really leads to innovation and success.
So tell me how this works. Do they actually pick the restaurant that you're going to dine in?
Yes. So I have no idea where I'm going. And I say, you know, where's your favorite restaurant? And then I'm willing to go. Chef Jose Andres,
he's done incredible work.
He is. He's starting a new restaurant, Haleo, here in Chicago. He's a humanitarian. He chose his favorite restaurant in Spain, in Barcelona. So we flew to Barcelona.
You flew to Barcelona?
Yes, to Bodega 1900 and ate at a vermouth bar.
Great job.
Yeah, and had the tapas and had a whole tour of tapas to see his roots and his love of Spanish cooking. Where did it start? Where did it come from? And then heard the story unfold of him not only creating a restaurant empire, but also his humanitarian efforts.
Are you surprised at what you're learning as you're doing this?
It really is. It is every single episode not only brings inspiration and a sense of a different version of the American dream. Everyone has a different version of what it was. You know, 30, 40, 50 years ago, it was, you know, being able to buy a home, right? Mm-hmm. It was being able to do better than your family, or being better than your parents, kind of stepping up in social class. That's changing. You know, young millennials want to make impact. They want to have a job that has flexibility.
It's about meaning.
Right. It's about meaning. I mean, you talked to people 40 years ago, that wasn't on the radar.
No,
it was
all.
Like, let's live the American dream and have the white picket fence. So I love seeing how the American dream is evolving through all of these stories. Obviously, everyone shares one thing in common, that they have created something, but they all have a different version of what that success means to them.
Speaking of creating something, you created this. It was really bootstrapped. Mm-hmm. You did it yourself. You had to really learn how to put on many hats, including being an entrepreneur. And a business plan.
Yes.
Can you go over some of that?
Oh, absolutely. So I just like these some of these episodes, you know, every woman thought this was a crazy idea. They looked at me side-eyed, a lot of no's. You know, it just takes one step in front of the other. Finally found distribution with American Public Television. So the program is now nationwide on PBS in 96% of the country. It is also on PBS.org. It is also on Create TV. And on season one, you can find on Amazon Prime. It's free if you're a member. So you can find...
But you were a TV anchor and journalist. You didn't know how to create your own television show from the ground up.
I did not. I knew that I knew the basics of great storytelling. I knew I would be able to identify phenomenal stories. I feel like that's my strength. And I knew that the idea of interviewing someone at their favorite restaurant would help people come alive. And, you know, I think more than anything, our society right now just appreciates and craves authenticity and realness. And when you're talking about a place you love, you really do come alive. I do want to mention there's an episode that I did in Chicago, and we eat deep dish pizza at Giordano's with Jason Maiden. And Jason Maiden grew up on the South Side. He grew up in Roseland.
And this is in season two?
This is in season one, so okay. Which you can find on Amazon Prime. But this is just the most phenomenal story. So he grew up in Roseland. He wanted to be a designer. He put the Nike logo on the ceiling of his bedroom, and every day he would wake up and look at it. Long story short, he goes on to become the first black intern for Nike. Second of all, he becomes the lead designer for Nike. Third of all, he goes on to create the highest grossing shoe of all time for Nike, the Air Monarch. He's now the CEO of his own company, Super Heroic. And his story, especially in this episode, he takes you step by step. How did he do it? How did he envision it? How did he become it? And I really think not only for, you know, anyone trying to create something, but especially for folks who are like, how does that happen? He is the blueprint.
It's manifestation. It's inspiration. Do you find that folks that are successful are following a passion?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the sheer amount of work, even creating this show, the sheer amount of work and knows that
it's not easy.
If you have to love it. If you don't love it, you're not going to be willing to put in everything that it takes to get it off the ground, to get it going. I would say hard work, passion, you know, everyone has a different definition of hard work, but you really have to take it to the next level. And you have to find something that you're willing to go through that with.
Season 2, you have an artist that I'm obsessed with that's coming up, Ashley Longshore.
Yes.
If you've never heard of her, just Google her.
Yes.
It's pop art. It's pretty incredible.
Yes.
Who else do you have coming up in Season 2 that folks should make sure that they tune in and watch?
Yeah, you know, we headed up to Madison, Wisconsin to eat at a bar called Wando's that is, you know, cheese curds and beer and burgers. Jake Wood is a former Marine who created Team Rubicon, which sends veterans into disaster areas to help with the relief efforts. His story of kind of bootstrapping it from his military experience is fascinating.
Kate Sullivan, host of To Dine For, and when is it on?
It's Sunday at 1 o'clock on WTTW.
Thanks, Kate. A lot more coming up on WGN Radio. G here with the Winterest Business Lunch. Happy Valentine's Day. We're going to continue our theme. Are you planning to go to the auto show? Well, joining us right now is Tom Appel of Consumer Guide Automotive. Hi, Tom. Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic to have you on the show. So what do we have to look forward to? I think a lot of folks kind of think about the auto show in terms of Valentine's Day, and they take their sweetie there, and it's a fun time.
Oh, it can be a fun time. And as I say, if you are going with someone you love, stop and get some fudge.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That fudge is delicious.
It is delicious. And that is absolutely the time to splurge.
So, Consumer Guide Automotive, you guys have almost 50 years of experience. The editors there, you guys all test drive and you thoroughly evaluate virtually almost every new car, truck, minivan, SUV in America.
We do, yeah. We try to get into everything every year.
So, what's not to miss this year?
There's a lot going on at the auto show, and if you haven't been there in a couple years or you haven't been shopping for a car in a few years, you might be surprised by a couple of things. One of them is that there are simply fewer sedans now. In the last couple of years, something like 20 sedan models have been dropped from manufacturer lineups. Replacing them is a whole slew of small crossovers, smaller than the compact crossovers that we're familiar with, like the RAV4. And then finally, there is a lot of technology going on in the cabin of the car and safety equipment, often referred to as driver assistance systems. And those have come online fairly quickly.
What's one of the cool driver assistant features that you're excited about?
A really interesting one, and I think that this one we think about a lot every summer when it gets hot out, but there is actually a rear seat child detection system now showing up on a lot of cars. And it may be child, it might be just object detection, it depends on the system, it depends on the vehicle, but it reminds you to check the back seat. And depending on the car, it may actually know that something living is back there because it uses ultrasonic sensors, or it may be just that you opened the rear door and then the rear door didn't open when you parked the car, so it's saying, hey, maybe you left something.
Of course, that's a safety feature, and we've been hearing those tragic stories where parents forget that they have a child or they didn't drop the child off to daycare before they go to work, so that sounds like a good one.
Yeah, absolutely.
What else are you excited about?
One of the interesting things that's happening, and as a guy that watches the industry and just delights in watching markets shift and consumer preferences move, is this insane collection of subcompact crossovers that has come online. And it's literally a list of cars that people probably don't remember because they didn't exist 4 or 5 years ago. There's things like the Hyundai Kona and the Hyundai Venue, the Chevy Trailblazer, the Nissan Kicks, the Kia Seltos, the Ford EcoSport, the Toyota CHR, and now the Mazda CX-30. And it's a brand new segment, and it's literally just drawing customers away from sedans.
What's the benefit of owning a crossover?
It depends where you live, but one of the nice things about a crossover and the way people cross-shop them, they tend to move from one segment of sedan larger to a size of crossover. So if you're moving from a mid-size sedan, say, to a compact crossover, you probably keep the same amount of interior volume, but the footprint of your vehicle is a little bit tidier, so your vehicle is easier to park. It's easier to maneuver in traffic, and it's probably available with all-wheel drive, which, if you live in the Snow Belt or Chicago, is super useful.
Is there one vehicle that you think is outstanding for people, for families?
Yeah, there's two new vehicles that came out this year, the Hyundai Palisade and the Kia Telluride. These are largish, mid-sized crossovers, and they're kind of a nice collection of everything that is good about crossovers. They're relatively fuel efficient, and it might be the worst thing I could say about these cars. They are roomy, packed with safety features, very family friendly. They ride well, and I think they're a good starting point for anyone looking for a crossover if they have a family.
What about trucks? Is there one truck that's outstanding?
The crazy thing happening with big trucks these days, and by this I'm talking about half-ton pickup trucks, the Ram 1500, which made some news this year by outselling the Chevy Silverado for the first time, it has really made the transition from regular truck to luxury truck. There are top trim levels of this that rival any luxury vehicle you can buy now, and it's amazing what Ram has done with interior materials and features availability. They are absolutely beautiful inside, and they actually ride and handle nearly as well as you might expect a car to.
We cover a lot of tech innovation on the Winter's Business Lunch, and it seems there's been a lot of electric vehicles headed to the market. Are we going to be able to see any of these at the auto show?
Yeah, the electric vehicle market is so interesting because there are vehicles out there right now that no one seems to be interested in unless they're branded Tesla, but that may change in the near future. We're going to see the Porsche Taycan, for example. That's at the Chicago Auto Show now.
I'll take a Porsche.
Yeah, I would too, and this might be the one I'd like to take. It's a plug-in Porsche that rivals any other gasoline Porsche for performance. And also at the show, not available for sale yet, is something called the Ford Mustang Mach-E. And Ford has decided to use a legacy name like Mustang and apply it to a small crossover, or really a mid-sized crossover that they promise will be very high performance. It's an interesting car. It borrows a lot of Mustang design cues. And I suspect that this might stir interest in electric vehicles.
And Mustang is one of those cars that has a cult following. Like, if you're a Mustang fan, you're a lifelong Mustang fan.
That's very true, yeah. Mustang loyalty goes way back. And what's interesting is that the car still sells pretty well for a sort of specialty vehicle.
Okay, so what else haven't we not talked about, Tom? We've covered pickup trucks, we've covered crossovers, we talked about family cars. Anything else that's really fun and innovative that you think people shouldn't miss when they go to the Chicago Auto Show?
There is, and I don't know why. There was a time when I was young, we all talked about horsepower. The thing that I hear about now when we talk about cars is the size of the display screen, the touchscreen monitor.
You mean that giant thing that distracts you?
Yeah, right, exactly. We're not supposed to use our phones, but instead we have a giant TV in front of us. But for whatever reason, automotive value now seems to be measured, at least in part, by the size of those screens. So if you're walking around the auto show today, tomorrow, this weekend, take note of that, because vehicles like we just mentioned, the Ram 1500, it's something like a 12.5-inch screen. It is gigantic. It is bigger than my first TV.
Tom, where can we read your articles and reviews?
Oh, please check us out at consumerguide.com. If you're not looking for a car, just go to our blog. Also, we have a brand new podcast we're very proud of. That's the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast, where we talk about stuff just like this.
Fabulous stuff. Tom Appel of Consumer Guide Automotive. Happy Valentine's Day.
Well, happy Valentine's Day.
G here with the Wintrust Business Lunch. Happy Valentine's Day. If you don't love Valentine's Day, happy Friday, because it's Friday too, and the sunshine is out. If you are buying flowers for your sweetie, Americans will spend an estimated $2 billion on roses this Valentine's Day. And did you know that the overwhelming majority of those roses come from Colombia, especially the highlands outside of Bogota? It's one of Colombia's biggest exports, shipping more than 1.4 billion cut flowers per year. It's pretty incredible. One reason the flowers in Colombia are inexpensive is because the minimum wage is much lower than it is in the U.S. And you might be surprised that Valentine's Day, not Christmas, is when UPS moves the most freight out of Colombia. They're going to move a total of 88 million flowers, or 517,000 plus boxes from Latin America in preparation for today. So think about that when you're handing over your sweetheart those beautiful red roses. Joining me now is Janet Mandel. She is an entrepreneur, a really incredible local business story. She has a showroom now, not only here in Chicago, but she's expanded as well to Los Angeles, and she runs a high-end fashion rental service. Hi, Janet. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, G. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Well, happy Valentine's Day and congratulations. I know that it's been a couple of months that you've also moved your business. You got another location in Los Angeles.
Yes, we do. And we were quite busy. You know, we're always trying to pivot and scale the business so that we could do our best to make every female in this world look beautiful and feel beautiful. So we're trying to reach everybody as fast as we can with having the experience of the showroom.
So, Janet, let's start from the beginning because this is a homegrown Chicago business. And boy, have you made a big splash. This all started in the beginning with a fashion blog about lifestyle and your life, basically.
Well, you know, I've always been sort of born with, I think, the fashion in my blood. My mother is a major fashionista, and I've always followed what she was wearing and, you know, what was her favorite designers growing up, you know, in her closet, walking around in her closet. I was always overwhelmed with, you know, she would just have racks and racks and racks of clothing. So I think I was very inspired by my Korean mother, amazingly fashionable. Knowing that and having that, you know, in my lifestyle, in my life, I always knew I wanted to do something in fashion. So once, you know, I had a few children and they were sort of like, you know, on their own and they were ready to go to school full time, I really didn't know what else I wanted to do. So that's when I decided to start the fashion and lifestyle blog. Unfortunately for me, that was a definite entry level for me, and I've had so many great experiences with the fashion community in Chicago and even worldwide, just traveling through episodes. But I felt like something else was missing. I wasn't really the front end of the business. I really loved the creative side on the back end, and I think that's where I found Janet Mandel, the whole brand behind it, the whole, you know, the business model behind it. And I feel like I'm complete now. This is where, you know, like everybody has their time when they find what their niche or what they're meant to do. And I felt like I feel so happy and so amazing knowing that this is what I was meant to do, to make beautiful clothes available for beautiful women that need it.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because describe what your service does.
So we curate some life consignment businesses and resale businesses. I'm able to curate what I feel is marketable and attractive to the audience, which is everyday women, right? Mm-hmm. So the most important thing is I need to make sure that whatever I bring in is going to satisfy every person out there that has their specific trend or style. So that's sort of hard because you have to know the individual style. So, you know, for me, I buy things that I think will rent or that women will love. And I think that's what I am known and that's what I do the most.
And we have millions of dollars worth of merchandise. Can you put a figure?
Oh my gosh.
How much do you think it is?
I mean, over probably close to $4 million between two stores. You know, we have everything from accessories to resort wear to evening wear to cocktail wear to separate to ski wear to wedding. We have the items available for 7 days. It's all a la carte. You can come in and just rent shoes. You can come in and rent a bag. Or you can come in and rent a dress. We usually rent dress and a pair of accessories. It could be a pair, you know, it could be a pair of earrings, it could be a pair of shoes. But most women do walk out with a dress and a pair of shoes because it's just easier for them to translate into having the shoes available there to coordinate with the dress that they chose.
So, Jen, how does it work? Do we schedule an appointment for one of your showrooms based in Chicago or L.A.?
Correct. Yeah, you go on the website and you can choose to make an appointment either online for the Chicago location or the L.A. location.
And what's your website?
JanetMandel.com.
And it's M-A-N-D-E-L-L, so make sure you add those two L's, JanetMandel.com.
Yeah,
absolutely. And before we go, we're running out of time, but I want you to mention you have had your pieces worn by A-list celebrities, and of course that helps your bottom line and getting people in the door.
I'm so grateful that we were able to dress these A-list celebrities in such a short amount of time. I feel like, you know, what we've done in the past 2 years, close to 2 years, takes a normal business 5 to 10 years. And I think it's all because you have to maintain your connection. It's building the community. I built the community here in Chicago to be successful, but you also have to start building communities elsewhere, worldwide, because, listen, words, they travel fast. Things travel fast, especially if you're a new business that people want to know.
Janet,
so I think relationships
are you
amazing.
The most proud of for having dressed in terms of celebrities and names that folks would recognize?
I would say Scarlett Johansson because she was nominated this year. I was so privileged today to dress up Scarlett Johansson and Kourtney Kardashian and Rosie Huntington and, you know, Priyanka Chopra and Gigi Hadid. I mean, it just goes on and on. But for me, it's about how happy they are. You know, we just had Alessandra Ambriosa. We dressed her. She wants to buy the dress. You know, that happens a lot where people do rent something and they want to own it. And we, if we can actually separate from that piece, we will sell it.
And it's really cool that a lot of these pieces, you only have them in one size and per style. So that way folks aren't duplicating what someone else might be wearing. But it's a really cool thought to think that if you're around the same size, you could have a dress that you could wear a dress for an event or an occasion that Scarlett Johansson wore.
You don't want to walk into a major event and have somebody else wear the dress.
Absolutely.
The same dress you wore. I mean, that's like, most people will be like, okay, I'm leaving. You know, that's why I think we separate from other competitors or other online retail rental businesses. We carry one of a kind, one size, so that you'll never have that problem.
Well, congratulations, and thanks for representing Chicago out in L.A. as well. This has been Janet Mandel of Janet Mandel Showroom. You can check her out on her website, janetmandel.com. Happy Valentine's Day, Janet. Thanks so
much
for
being with us. Thank you. Happy Valentine's Day. Yay, Chicago.
G here with a Winter's Business Lunch. Thank you so much for being my Valentine today and listening on the show. Really appreciate you, and I hope you have a fabulous weekend.